seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee how after the worship service, we can have this time of Bible study. And we ask of Thee on this Lord's Day that You will grant us much profit as we consider Thy sacred word to lead us and guide us and grant us the right perspective of life in this world, and that our lives will also be ordered according to Thy truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. And we shall read responsively verses 1 to 18. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 to 18. I shall begin with verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vows, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which have the seven heads and ten horns. And here is the mind which have wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth.
And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And as he comes, he must continue.
And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of hosts, and King of kings. And they are with him, and chosen.
And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues.
And ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and wither, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire.
Together with 17 and 18, For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. and the woman which thou sowest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The Lord bless the reading of his sacred word. Last week we began on the vow judgments of God, and at the seventh vow, what we have is this vow being poured into the air, and then in heaven there is this great voice that cometh out of the temple of heaven saying, "It is done." And there was these thunderings, there was this great earthquake that was never so great like upon the earth, probably a Richter scale 10 type of earthquake. And then what we have is the great city that was Jerusalem was divided into three parts. Based upon the data that we have in the minor prophets, we know that, and not just in the minor prophets, but also in the book of Ezekiel, right, we know that waters will flow from this great city, Jerusalem, and will pour into the Dead Sea, of which now the Dead Sea will now become alive. But not only is this great city, the Jerusalem, divided into three parts, another city is being focused on in the seventh vow judgment, and that city is called the great city Babylon. Now this city came into remembrance before God. Remembrance for what? Not of blessing, but for destruction. For here the Bible says in Revelation chapter 16 that the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath will be given to this city. Now, take note of this expression, the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, because soon in Revelation chapter 17, you are going to read about wine also being given to the kings and nations of the world, right, to drink. Okay, so this is a judgment which the Lord pour out because of this wine which this city would give to the world to drink. So take note of this. Okay? Then here in this last vow judgment, which is the final judgment, you have every island fleeing away, which will include Singapore. Mountains will also be flattened. And then the Bible here says, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. How much is the hailstone? How heavy is the hailstone? About 34 kg. Which is 3.5 packets of rice. And after we had that particular lesson in Singapore on Tuesday, the hailstone came down. Right? How many of you saw the hailstone? No, I didn't see. It was too bad that the FCM was conducted on Wednesday, not on Tuesday. Because if it's on Tuesday, I would have seen the hailstone. So, well, too bad. Because the video is Nanyang Poly, right? Nanyang Poly, the hailstone fell down. Bible study is Nanyang Poly, right? Nanyang Poly. But ours was on Wednesday. But even on Wednesday when I was in the rain, right, it also rained during the Bible study, well, the rain was icy cold. Very, very strange. Very, very strange. Like, you know, you pour ice water upon yourself. Strange weather, right? It's all in the Lord's hand. But when I saw the hailstone, I was immediately reminded, hey, we just finished dealing with hailstone. How big were the hailstones? Very small in Singapore. Small, small one. Those people in the golf course were enjoying themselves. Nothing, man. That's what now. Looking like some strange phenomenon. What if it's a real, really the real hailstones? You run for cover. It can really hurt. But none of the hailstones will be 34 kg, definitely. This is 34 kg in weight. And instead of repenting, right, men still continue to blaspheme God. Why? Why? And to understand this, we need to understand the nature and the whole of this great city, Babylon. Right? And that's why you have in Revelation chapter 17, a slight break just to explain what this city is all about. And then in Revelation chapter 18, you finally have what you will see, the destruction of this city itself. Okay, so in order to explain to us why the men blaspheme God, Revelation chapter 17 is given to us to understand the nature of this city and the whole of this city over the peoples of the world. Why were they so concerned about this great city, Babylon? And if you read about this great city, and we know that this Revelation chapter 17, when it comes to this imagery, especially when you have the woman that was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and there it says, "Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, there are several opinions about the identity of this particular woman. Right? Some would say that it is the apostate church, some would say that it is the Roman Catholic Church, some would say this, some would say that. Now, if you ask me, my particular opinion is that this should be the great city Babylon itself. How do we know this? Because we have scripture interpreting scripture itself. If you just look at Revelation chapter 17 and you look at verse 18, the identity of this city is given to us, right? I mean, of this woman. Verse 18 says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." In other words, this will be the great city Babylon that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 16. Okay? So, understand this. Okay? And that's why when we look at this verse and then we come back to view the rest of the verses before, right, it will be easier to understand. Right? These verses are pointing to us the nature of this city. And why is it that this destruction of this city can be constituted as the seventh woe? And why after the destruction of these cities, instead of the people repenting, they in fact blaspheme God? Look at verse 1. "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vows, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, which sitteth upon many waters." Now, these waters would be the waters of the nations. How do we know this? Because it's explained to us in verse 15. "And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest, which the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." Okay? So, these waters, the waters of the sea here, represents the nations of the entire world. So that is why I'm of the opinion when you look at the earlier chapters where it talks about people, about things rising from the sea, that will also be rising from among the nations. Personal opinion, okay? But down here, at least for Revelation chapter 17, it's clear. When you talk about the waters here refer to the waters of the nations. That means from the peoples of the world, the entire world, will arise this great whore, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So this woman is called the great whore. In other words, she is a harlot, a prostitute. A prostitute, you know what a prostitute does, right? There's no need to explain down here. A prostitute makes men to commit fornication. And so please do not frown, please do not take fornication lightly. Fornication is something that is very serious. Here it is used to describe the great city Babylon, committing fornication with the kings of the world as a prostitute. Of course, this fornication would refer more than just physical fornication, but here what is in focus would be spiritual fornication, spiritual adultery, causing the people to be enamored by her, to come in to her, to be taken in by her, to be one with her, because that's exactly what happens when somebody has sexual relations with somebody, isn't it? The Bible tells us that when a person has sexual relationships, you are declaring yourself to be one with the other person. And that is why when it comes to such sexual relationships, the only time where the bed is undefiled is in marriage. The Bible made that very clear, because it's only in marriage whereby you become one flesh with the other person, and therefore you can have sexual relationship with that person, because you are declaring that you are one flesh with that person. So when these kings therefore commit fornication with this great whore, basically they are, what the Bible here is saying is, she enamored all these kings to join her. And now all these kings begin to be one together with her, one together in spirit, one together in mission, one together in outlook. So how this great whore thinks, how this great whore wants to do, they would follow her whims and her fancies. The great whore committing fornication with the kings of the earth. So all the kings of the earth, they will be taken by this whore, which is none other than The identity given, verse 18, that great city Babylon. So in other words, all the kings will be taken by this great city. So finally, in the entire world, there will arise one great capital city of which all the people of the world will agree this is the capital city. Right now, nobody dares to declare they are the capital city of the world, right? Except maybe once upon a time, China thinks that they are in the center of the world. That's why called Zhongguo, Middle Kingdom, really, because they think they are in the center of the world. After that, they realize they are not so center of the world after all. Right? But if you look now in the world, nobody will declare that they are the capital. You try right now. We are the capital city of the world. You see what will happen to you. Well, the people of the world will get angry with you, right? You dare to declare yourself capital city of the world. Nobody dares. So finally, among all the nations, and you will realize that all the nations here are very united. We already have united nations. Take note. All very united, and among themselves, they will all agree that there will be one particular nation that will be the capital city of the world, and they will unite themselves with their city, and they will fall down and will do the whims and fancies of that particular city. And that particular city is called the great city Babylon. What is the identity of this great city Babylon? The Bible here doesn't really say so much. We can only make guesses, we can only make opinion, but it would be a city. And capital cities are very important, right? Capital cities are very important. Every city, every nation would have a capital city. In Singapore, of course, we find it hard to understand because we are a city on ourselves. A capital city of Singapore is? Young people, you all know not? Singapore, you sure? Not CBD. Singapore, right? Capital city of Singapore is Singapore, right? We are city-state, right? But if you go to any other country, larger nation, every nation will have a capital city. And it seems to be important, a place, a rallying point and the capital city will represent the entire nation. The city of the nation represents the wishes, the spirit, the trust, the energy of the entire nation. The capital city. And we know the importance of a capital city also, right? For example, you see when David conquered the promised land. When David had established his kingdom, it was very important for him to have a capital city, right? And that capital city, in the end, he conquered was called Jerusalem. Old name? Anybody know? Here, okay. Which of the young people now taking OT history? Mattathias, right? Has Renquet covered Samuel? Oh, not yet. Never mind, advance. What is the old name of Jerusalem? Give you a clue. Who were the original occupants of the city? Okay, you look very puzzled. You can ask anybody from Ebenezer to help you. Shomerim will know, right? Yes, Nisha, you know, right? Huh? Nisha don't know. Oh dear. Okay, never mind. Ebenezer, anybody knows? Don't know. Okay, Billy, do you know? Billy looks as though he knows. He does know. You know, right? Don't know. Oh dear. Okay, the Jebusites. Okay, the Jebusites. So this the city of Jebus. Okay, Jebus. Okay, the process of how he conquered Jebus and whatever, I leave it to you all to find out from OT history because we are doing Revelation right now. Okay, the whole point I wanted to make is he found it important to have a capital city and then it was taken. And of course, this is with the Lord's blessing, right? The Lord himself declared there must be a capital city, and that capital city, my capital city, the Lord declares, is Jerusalem. Okay? So take note. Now, the Antichrist, of course, now that he has conquered the whole world, he also needs a capital city, right? But remember, now his domain is over the what? Over the entire world. So that one city will therefore be the capital city of the entire world. And this capital city of the entire world here in the book of Revelation is called the great city of Babylon, great city of confusion, because that is exactly the nature of this city, confusion. confusion and reflects the ecumenical nature of the people to rebel against God, just as what happened in the book of Genesis, right, with regards to the Tower of Babel. Okay? And so there will be this one capital city, now that the Antichrist is in charge down there, and they will wander after the Antichrist. So naturally, this capital city became the rallying point of all the kings of the nations. They will look to her as an example. They will want to kowtow to her. And so they came to do business with her. They follow her teachings. They follow her instructions. They follow after whatever she desires, whatever she believes. And of course, whatever she believes will be that of materialism, will be that of the love of money, will be that of sin, will be that of lust. And the nations will be taken in by her. And how did she take them in? The Bible here says, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Made drunk with wine. You will realize that when prostitutes want to do their business, it normally involves a lot of wine, right? There is good reason for it, huh? A lot of all these things happen because of wine, right? Remember in pubs and bars? Yeah, wine. Why? Because wine, once you're drinking, you lose all your senses. And then you can do all kinds of strange things. You won't know what is going on beside you. You just go along with the flow. And that is why here, this illustration is being used. Make them drunk with the wine. And then make them to commit fornication with her. Give them to drink. Then they become no longer sober. They become taken in by her. Follow everything that she said. Even though it is towards a direction which is most dangerous, most wicked, most evil, most harmful. They don't know. They just follow. Because now their hearts are for her. Under the effect of her wine. Taken in by the way she dressed, the way she conducted herself. Wine or spiritual fornication. Come, enjoy these great riches that I have. Look at me. I'm dressed in scarlet, right? Verse 3 says that she's, right? When John was carried away in the wilderness, the beast here was dressed in scarlet, purple and scarlet, royal color, so she will act herself, behave herself as royalty, and yet in a way, manner of a harlot, then she would deck herself with gold and precious stones and pearls. Now, this is very interesting because later on, when you look at the New Jerusalem, you will realize that New Jerusalem is also full of all these precious stones and pearls and all this stuff. Copycat, counterfeit. But in this case, here, now she acts as the counterfeit and let the whole world be taken in by the materialism, and now they are drunk with her. Oh, look at this capital city, the capital city of the Antichrist. Look at the amount of money he can generate, the amount of trade that she has. Look at the beauty of her art. Look at how the people enjoy their life. This is the city we strive to be like. Moreover, there is one person that is sitting on the throne down there, the beast, the Antichrist. Who is like unto the beast? Who is like unto the great city? They will cry. They will cry. And already this is happening, isn't it? You just look at whatever is happening in the world with regards to the United Nations. Now, I'm not trying to say that the men that are doing all this discussion in the United Nations, they are evil and wicked men. We are not saying that. But you just look at what is being discussed in the United Nations. The United Nations is all about banding together as one, isn't it? And they're all banding together as one for what? To make money. Sometimes, even the agenda may be to do evil, they also go together as one. And whoever says is the odd one out, that particular country will be oppressed. True? Nobody wants to be the odd one out. Nobody wants, because now if you want to say, I disagree, all the nations of the world will oppress you. It's already becoming like that. It's already becoming like that. And in those days, really United Nations, of which one will arise as the king of, so-called the king of kings, inverted comma among them, will rule over them with an iron fist. And although it's with an iron fist, yet they will be most willing. Because of all the economic benefits that this particular person can provide for them. They are taken in by the love of money, and that becomes spiritual adultery to them. They become fornication, and their heart now becomes one with that particular city. And so there she sits on this scarlet beast, full of names of blasphemy. Appear very nice, but very blasphemous. All blaspheme against God, all against God. Right? So one world system, all against God, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now the seven heads later are explained to us as seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now some would say that therefore this refers to the Roman Empire, because Rome is found seated upon seven mountains. Okay, if you look at the geography of Rome, it is seven mountains. Now, while there is a possibility, if you recall what we have studied earlier on with regards to Daniel, you will have seen these seven mountains later on in Daniel, they are also described as, right, seven kingdoms. Right, so I tend to think that these seven mountains here would refer to the seven kingdoms that have passed, starting first with Egypt. Remember Egypt? Right, Egypt, and then what? Assyria, Babylon, the Medes and Persians, and then the Greeks, right? Rome, and then the revived Roman Empire, of which after the revived from the revived Roman Empire, there will come the eighth king, and then this eighth king would then be the Antichrist himself, right? We will see that very soon, okay? So this woman decked with all this gold and scarlet pearls in a golden cup full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. See that? So she will give the whole world to drink of her doctrine. And they will like it. They will be enamored by it, and they will not be able to come out of that drunken stupor. And upon her forehead was written a name. And what was this name? Mystery. And of which this mystery is going to be revealed right now to a certain extent. And of course, during those days, this entire city, the nature and identity of this city will be fully understood by all. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. In other words, of all the various cities of the world that has come before, there is no one city that is able to captivate the world to go after worldly lust like this particular city. But you will realize that the cities of the world today, they are all cities of sin, right? Even, to be frank, Singapore is also a city of sin. Like it or not, it's a city of sin. If it's not a city of sin, then why is there, number one, casino? Why are there pubs? Why are there discotheques? Why are brothels and prostitute rings still allowed to go on? And now there is a call out for more and more of such places, isn't it? More and more pubs, more and more nightlife. You know, actually, Singapore, when you come out of survey, Singapore is one of the most boring places in the world. That was the survey. I do not know how they do the survey, how they conclude that. Is Singapore really that boring? I mean, okay, you may not have the so-called a lot of tourist attractions like other places, but really, the most boring place on the earth, I do not know how they do the survey. To be frank, I really do not know. I really doubt the quality of the survey. Nevertheless, maybe in a way, it's good to be called the most boring city. Because when you look at how they define life in other cities, well, they say Singapore is almost close to the last in the index with regards to drinking, right? Do you remember that lately? Drinking, well, one of the last Singaporeans, they say don't know how to drink. I think that is a good statistic, you know. Because if Singaporeans know how to drink, that will be the end of Singapore. Everybody all drunken everywhere. Good, Singaporeans too busy cannot drink. But it's on the rise. Singapore is becoming really a sin city. Because and Singapore will move along that way, because that is how the rest of the world are. Singapore will be taken in by these statistics. Singapore will move, and they will move because Singapore, being a secular nation, will think of her survival and how to... And the only way Singapore will think to survive is that I must be like the other nations, otherwise Singapore cannot survive. We have no resources, right? So if we are not like the rest of the other nations, what will happen to Singapore? Gone. So Singapore will also move along that direction and will be taken in. And you look at all the other cities of the world, are they also not cities of sin? Where you have a human-made city, it is a city of sin. There's no place that is without sin. That is why when John Calvin was a reformer, and then when he was, when this Frenchman was working in the city of Geneva, the city of Geneva became so attractive. Why? Because it stood out as a city that is so different from the rest of the cities of the world. The rest of the cities of the world, they're only interested in one thing: make money, have fun, eat, drink, and be merry. All the cities of the world are the same. But when they look at Geneva, when Calvin taught faithfully the word of God, the city was so different. And then they look, wow, this is the pearl of Europe. But of course, it did not last. Right? Very soon, Europe move along, especially after the Renaissance, everything is gone. It stood out as a shining light because it is so different from the rest of the cities. Now you look at all the cities of the world. Not one. You can say it's not a city of sin. So they are all cities that are harlots. But there is one champion among them. And that champion will arise, and that champion will be this city called Babylon the Great, the capital city of the Antichrist. Mother of harlots, because she will set the example and make the whole world to follow after in her direction. All the possible abominations that you can do on the earth, the last that you can pursue after, she will pursue, and the world will go with her. That's why here she's called the Mother of Harlots. She will lead all the cities to be harlots, all the kings to commit fornication and prostitution together with her. And so when John saw this woman drunken, take note, not only were the kings of the earth drunk, the woman herself was drunk. Okay? So take note. So the woman was also taken in by all these abominations. So she was drunk with all these abominations. She also made all the cities of the world to be drunk with all these abominations. And what was also inside the cup was this. She was drunk with the blood of the saints. So in other words, she, in getting the world to commit spiritual fornication with her, she also got the rest of the world to hate the saints and to persecute God's people. And to kill God's people. That's why you have the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. Now, if it remains as the blood of the martyrs, it's not enough. Right? Because there are a lot of people who are martyrs, but they can be martyrs for the wrong thing. Right? So it's important to state down here that they are the blood of the saints and they are martyrs of Jesus. So they are not on the side of the Antichrist. They did not die for the sake of the Antichrist. They died for the sake of the witness of Christ Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, great astonishment, what is this particular institution that is so against God's people, never seen before in history? And that this particular city so enjoyed in drinking the wine, and this wine is called the blood of the saints, and make the whole entire world drink also of the blood of the saints, the blood of God's people, and let the whole world enjoy, and the whole world is taken in by this. John wondered. And so, please do not be surprised that as we get closer and closer to the time of the Antichrist, to the time of the rapture, that this world is going to be increasingly anti-Christian. Now, of course, when we talk about Christianity, that the Christianity spectrum is very wide. Now, if you are at the band of the spectrum of the charismatics, of the new evangelicals, of the health and wealth gospel, you will be very well loved. They have no problem. They will accept it and they will let you go. Because anyway, there is falsehood. They will, no problem. Okay. But if you say, therefore, you are a Bible-believing Christian and you are truly a Bible-believing Christian, you will come to expect that life in the world is going to get tougher and tougher and tougher for all of us. It will happen. Because that is what the Bible says. There will come a point of time the entire world would now hate the people of God. So if you are true to Christ, you are true to the gospel, this is what will happen.
The whole world will be against you. And then the angel asks John, who is wondering, what exactly meaneth by this sight that you are now showing me? And he says, I will now tell you about the mystery of the woman. Explain to you, I will reveal to you this mystery of the beast that carrieth her, which have the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. And this, of course, refer back to earlier, Revelation chapter 13, where we saw how the beast was, he had this deadly wound, he appeared to be as dead, and then there was this counterfeit miracle of him rising again from the dead, which, right, empowered by Satan himself. Right? So, Sawus was dead, and is not dead, right? And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and goeth into perdition, right? He will be destroyed. And they that dwell on the earth, they shall wander after this particular beast. They shall be taken in by this counterfeit miracle. And all these people who will be taken in by this counterfeit miracle are those whose names are not written in the book of life. They will be the ones who wander after the beast, who was and is not and yet is. Oh, that's very interesting. Now, before that, the Bible only says was and is not. Was dead and yet is not dead. Right? That was the counterfeit miracle. But here it says was and is not and yet is. Yet is what? In my opinion, yet is dead, right? Because he goeth unto perdition. That means his end is sure. Spiritually dead, and of course, will experience eternal condemnation. Is well and truly dead, written, decreed, condemned. Right, so, was, is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which have wisdom. Right, so if you have wisdom, you will be able to understand what the angel is trying to say down here. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth, right? We have dealt with that. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen and 1 is. So that is why, in my personal opinion, these 7 mountains are not the 7 mountains of Rome. Right? These 7 mountains are the 7 kingdoms to come. Because you look at verse 10, it deals with 7 kings. 5 are fallen and 1 is. And the 1 is not yet come. So let's look at this. 7 kingdoms, okay, which we have studied before. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medes and Persians, then you have the Greeks, and then you have the Rome, and then you have revived Roman Empire. Of which, in the book of Daniel, this is described as iron mixed with clay. So originally very divided, only finally united because of the Antichrist. Now, look at what the description is said down here, okay? 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. 5 are fallen. Fallen. Right? So Egyptian ones have a hold over a large part of the world and very much involved in the persecution of God's people, Egypt. Gone, right? Time of Exodus, whatever, over. Then you have Assyria, gone. Babylon, gone. Medes and Persia, which is where we have the book of Ezra, also gone. Greeks, gone. Now, at the writing of the book of Revelation is when? Rome, right? Still is. Revived Roman Empire, is to come. Right? So that will explain the 7 kings. And of course, the is to come king, you will see, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. So he will be allowed to thrive.
And the beef that was and is not, even he is the ape. So you have the last king of the revived Roman Empire from which only a short while, then after that, there's this beast that will come up, will be the ape. He is of the seventh, he's of the revived Roman Empire, and he is the one who is the beast who will go off into perdition. Right? And then the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom yet. So these ten kings are not of the present Roman Empire. In other words, that's what the angel is trying to say. But receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now we have already seen the explanation of this particular ten kings earlier on already in Revelation chapter 13 and the other chapters. Right? We have ten kings of which the Antichrist will rise from among the ten. Remember, three will be killed. Right? And then the Antichrist will give them power. So give them power, give these ten power, of which later on, three will fell foul of him, he will get rid of three. So these ten will rise, this Antichrist will therefore give them power, but this power will, which he gives to them, he loan it to them, will be only for 1 hour. Why 1 hour? Because it will be very, very short. Very, very short. After which the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will return. And that's it. That's over for them. Okay? So these ten, they will want to be with the Antichrist. They are part of the kings. They are also drunk with the fornication of the great city Babylon. And they would want to, and they will want to follow him. Follow him for what? All for the sake of fame, for power, for authority. That is what they want. They are drunk with it. Simply their minds cannot fathom anything outside of fame, power, and authority. That's what they want. So they with this Antichrist that come, now we want to serve you. We want to be with you. Although they are kings, yet they are kings in support of the king that is among them. That is none other than the Antichrist. Right? So these have one mind and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast. They will aid him and they will aid him in his rule. And that's how the world will be in those days. One ruler, Antichrist. Many other rulers over the entire world, the nations. So each, well, if you look at today's situation, let's say during those days they are still called presidents or prime ministers or whatever. So each country will have their prime minister, each president, but all the prime president and prime minister report to who? There will be one chief among them, none other than the Antichrist. And Singapore is still in existence in those days that prime minister will report to Antichrist. But it will not be like now, but report to him directly and take orders from him. And they will aid him in his mission. Of which, those who aid the Antichrist in this mission, among these, 10 of them, right, especially strong, right, the 10 of which the Antichrist will give them power. Right. And since it is the revived Roman Empire, we know that this will be therefore European kings. That is my personal opinion. European kings, right? They say the current president wants to make the United States great again, right? Make America great again. Sorry, he won't succeed. I mean, I'm not saying that his mission is wrong, but he won't succeed. Why? Because in the scriptures, America will, in the end, not be the great. It will be Europe who will be great again. Really. So whoever among Europe will come and then say, we want to make Europe great again. Wow, that one you better be scared. This one make America great again. Don't need to be scared. Because it's not America that is the focus of Revelation. Because America not revived Roman Empire. Whoever says, I want to make Europe great again, that kind of spirit, you must watch. And in fact, it's there already, right? Europe is very united. That's why Brexit want to occur. Wow. I tell you, the people want to do Brexit. You look at how they do Brexit, the people want to do Brexit are feeling a lot of pain because Europe gives a lot of pressure. Europe is very strong now. Very, very strong. And you will only get stronger. I don't think Brexit will succeed for very long, even if it occurs. Personal opinion. Based upon scriptures, Europe will be very united and will be very, very strong. Europe will be great again.
And the Lord is the one who will permit Europe to be great again, and the one who will really make Europe very great again will be the Antichrist, because now the entire world will be under him from his headquarters in Europe. And these people, they will all serve him, and part of his agenda is, since I'm the king, no other kings can exist. I want to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So therefore, all those who are with the Lamb, they must be overcome. So all these ten will proceed to make war with the Lamb, together with the rest of the world who are drunk with the wine of the other cities. So all these will make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them. Why? Because who is the true Lord of Lords? Who is the true King of Kings? It's not the Antichrist. The Antichrist can only pretend to be one. But in the end, when it comes to the crunch time, the truth will be revealed. There will be nobody that is able to stand before Jesus Christ. And so, what the Bible here says is that the Lamb shall come, and he shall come together with all of them. So this will be the second coming of Christ, and it will be the aspect whereby you have Christ coming together with the church. Remember two aspects of the second coming of Christ. One is Christ coming for the church. That will be the rapture itself. Okay? Christ coming in the clouds, right? Cannot even wait, right? Come to meet air with all the rest of the saints, right? In the clouds, a rapture. This is what? The second coming, this particular aspect, right? For the church. Now, this one that is described down here, Christ coming down as the Lamb, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, it comes together with all the saints, right? This is with the church. And after that, you will have the millennium. Now, look at the description of all those that came together with Christ, right? Firstly, they are called, right? Called unto salvation, called unto to serve him. They are chosen, right? Chosen before the foundation of the world, right? And very interestingly, you have verse 8, which says that those whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So even from the foundation of the world, they are already not chosen. And this is what will happen to them. Then what about those who are chosen from the foundation of the world? Well, they will be together with Christ. So if you are truly born again, you must thank God that you are chosen before the foundation of the world. You will be part of this group that come down. Thank God you are not with that second group which will be hammered by the vine which Babylon gives to the entire world. The only thing that protects you from it is what? Is God. God protects you from it. Otherwise you will be part of that group. Here, they are chosen and they are faithful. Right. In other words, they will hold on to the faith, they will not let go. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Right? So the explanation is given down here. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Now, very interestingly, remember, the beast is the one which gave the ten horns to the power, right? And initially, they were very happy to be sitting under his wings and to be enjoying the power which he gives to them. But in verse 16, the Bible here says that these ten horns, which receive power from the beast, in the end, they will become very unhappy. Now, this is nothing very strange, if you think about it. This is how the world operates, right? When it's come a convenience, I want power. And if the easiest way to get power first is to be under a particular person who is so powerful, and for a point of time, I cannot overcome that person. How? I want to count down to him, right? I want to get all the power, true? So, for that point of time, count down. Whatever he says, we will do. And they will do exactly his bidding. They will go about killing those that make war with the Lamb. But at the end of the times, very interestingly, here the Bible says, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, the 10 kings, they shall hate the whore. And in the end, the kingdom of the Antichrist will be destroyed by who? Yes, of course, Christ will come down. Christ will have the victory over the kingdom of the Antichrist. But at the same time, look at who will also be involved in the destruction of the kingdom of the whore. It is the 10 horns of which the Antichrist himself gave power. These people will then become not satisfied. True, because once you have the taste of power, what is the nature of man? Once you have the taste of power and you are of an unregenerate heart, you will start to be more and more greedy. You want power, now you want absolute power. You will then begin to question, why must the Antichrist have absolute power? Why must he have absolute power? Why cannot it be us? Okay, we on our own, one, we cannot conquer him, but perhaps we as 10, we can conquer him. That will probably explain why, along the way, you have 10, right? 10 horns, and in the end, how many are taken away? 3 are taken away. Probably a rebellion. They will rebel. And take note, they will succeed in plaguing Babylon herself. Because they will be the ones who will come to make her desolate and naked, and they shall eat of her flesh, and they will burn her with fire. So initially, they receive all the goodness from her. Oh, this is the great capital city of which we must look at. But after a while, having tasted of all this so-called goodness from her, they will be so greedy in their lust. They were so greedy over the power that they say, okay, now we want to be that capital city. Why must it be Babylon to be the capital city? We will destroy it. And of course, they won't calculate what will happen after that, because the first thing is to, right, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? So they all combine and destroy first. Then later on, what will happen to the rest of the 10? Later then discuss, right? That is what happens in history, right? When you have one big power and then the rest are angry, they all bend and they destroy one big power, and then after that you think that there is peace in the world. Of course no peace. After that the 10 will fight for 100 years, then after that finally come out one. History of the world nation, exactly the same. Right? They are very greedy, they fight, they destroy it. Of course this time now, it's part of God's will, right? God have put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdoms unto the beast, right? In the first place, to give the kingdoms unto the beast, and after that, finally, also to what? Move them against the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So look at the deep irony down here. The deep irony is that the Antichrist, the beast, he thinks that he is in control of the entire world. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In reality, he can only control the entire world for a short time. Even before you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ returning with the church, already in the hearts of these 10 kings, which he has given power to do his bidding for a while, even among the hearts of these 10 kings, there already arose this heart of rebellion. And he had no power over them. Because if he had power over them, would Babylon be made desolate? He is no King of kings. He is no Lord of lords. And worse still, when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returned with all the saints, it will be made abundantly clear, this guy is a counterfeit. This guy is a counterfeit. And he will be judged. And this Babylon will be no more. You will expect though, that the whole world will rejoice, right? But don't forget, the whole world is made drunk with the wine of fornication of this great city of Babylon. They are drunk. They cannot think soberly. They are now taken in by her. They are now one with her. They are now in lust with her. Not in love, but in lust with her. And now, this city, great city of which they are one with, is now being taken away, how do you think they will react? Revelation chapter 18 will be the reaction. But already in Revelation chapter 16, we have a hint of the reaction that we are going to get. Remember, they blaspheme God. And why they do so? Because they are just simply too attached with Babylon. Too attached. Too attached to spiritual adultery, too attached to materialism, too attached to the things of the world. And that is why you, even today you see the decisions that are made, even at the United Nations level. Sometimes they know certain things are wrong. Certain things they must change, certain things they want, but they can never change. Why? They are just simply too enamored by greed. They know, but they can't change. They are already stuck to that system, stuck to that ecumenical spirit, stuck to that spirit of rebellion against God. They cannot take themselves away from it. And when finally God judges and allows this city to be destroyed, they're just too attached. And so instead of repenting, they begin to blaspheme God. And Revelation chapter 18 will record their response of the destruction of Babylon. Now I'd like to ask Deacon Po how to close us in prayer.